Hello and welcome to Women in AI, Breaking the Mold. I'm your host, Marissa Garnhill, and today I'm joined by Anna Simeon, CEO and Chief Data Scientist at Inro London, a product design company.
So, hello, Anna. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, so just to kick us off, I'll just like to start by asking you a brief introduction of your professional background, if you can.
Sure. So I'm the CEO at a London-based product design company. It's been going since 2010. We've been crafting and making handmade leather goods from that. But back in 2021, that's where things got quite exciting. And we set up research institutes, the Simeon Institute of Innovation, which is very much focused around emerging technologies in fashion design, textiles, design innovation. And that stems into anything from computer vision, mixed realities, so AR and VR, into understanding the use of data science and supply chains to the more traditional industrial design engineering. So it's quite a broad-based spectrum of work that we do there. And I also am an advisor and board member at numerous universities, the Open University, Sussex, Kent, where I focus on emerging technologies with specialism in mixed realities, computer vision, and design innovation. Prior to that, I've been in research previously, but I was more focused around statistics and econometrics. So quite a different jump. I mean, you wouldn't traditionally think of economics and computer vision, but it was a very interesting transition. And I feel I've made a move that I'm very, very happy with. I engaged with a couple of companies in economics to understand Brexit and 2008 market crash, where I wrote a couple of articles on that. So machine learning has always been in my blood somewhere. I've always loved playing with data in some shape or form, whether it's a little, let's say, economics data set, or whether it's a vast amount of image data for a computer vision problem we're trying to solve. So it's one of these areas that it's grown from crunching lots of mathematical symbols to a lot of visual imagery. So in a way, it's almost like being if you imagine a helter-skelter, it's almost like going economics, visualization, computer vision, and now design and all of that apart from the economics. So it's been a very interesting career journey, but I've really enjoyed it so far.
That really does sound very interesting. I was wondering, how did you make the jump from the economic side to AI and everything? Like, when did you decide, okay, I'm ready to move on to AI?
Well, the work that I did in economics did have some AI in it. Like, I was playing with Excel quite a lot. So that was my first foray into, say, appreciating data a little bit more than just saying, take it and then work with it. And I just felt there was more to a meaning than just a simple table. And I thought I wanted to do something a little bit more with it than just play with pivot tables and all these fancy algorithms that you press random buttons and say, bravo, I'm going to present it. Wanted to go a little bit further. So after exploring Excel, I thought I really wanted to go and understand what data means rather than just play with it, because there was something deeper. There was a deeper meaning to data that I felt like I really wanted to get into. And let's just say it attracted a few looks. I mean, I was playing around with Excel, and as soon as I said I quite enjoy Excel, you'd get a few looks across the table. It's like, what on earth? That's a bizarre thing. But it helped me take that jump from saying, well, this is the pure dry stuff that some people might call economics, to actually saying, well, hold on, you can actually transform this data to make a lasting impact. And as soon as I spotted that gap, I was like, that's where it has to go. That's where I want to experiment with AI and see, what does this data mean? What's the story behind it? So that was really where it went.
Well, that's really interesting. Thank you so much for telling us all your journey. So what would you say is the biggest challenge you faced or you're still facing in your AI journey?
One of the biggest challenges was thinking about, where am I going to fit in? Because data is like New York, if you think about it. I mean, it comes in so many different shapes, sizes, and different areas as well. So you've got everything from data strategy at the very early stage of understanding the business relationship with data and how it can be leveraged in that environment, to the other end of the spectrum, which is the algorithmic angle, the computation, the visualization. And there's so many strands within data. I was thinking, oh goodness, how am I going to take the time to understand all these strands? There's so many things. It's really like a mosaic. If you imagine New York from space, it looks like a massive mosaic. It's what data reminds me of. So I was a natural programmer. Like, there's some people who can just sit down and code to their heart's extent. Don't get me wrong, I can code. I enjoy it. But for me, I loved the fact that you could take data from an Excel spreadsheet and transform it. And that strategic angle was the key that turned the lock. If you imagine the code into Narnia. And I thought to myself, for me, I want to be involved more often in the stakeholder management. So being able to say, well, this is how you can leverage your data, but this is how it's going to make you an impact and give you that return that your customers are really going to feel the benefit of. Like, don't get me wrong, stakeholder management is a very challenging area because you've got forces from the bigger companies, like the rise of the metaverse, that is bringing in all these angles that are swaying stakeholders left, right, and center. But I actually really like that challenge because it motivates you to go deeper into data that you've maybe not thought of before. And yes, it has its moments of being challenging, but who doesn't love a good bit of a challenge and trying to get that data and say to your manager, this is what you can do with it. Another thing I'd say that's quite challenging, and I think this is probably not just me alone who finds this, but data moves at an incredibly rapid pace. It's almost like, if you think about the definition of economics, there's all these pillars and triangles that make up what economics is. It's exactly the same with data. You've got ethics, you've got responsibility, so responsible AI, you've got governance, you've got the coding, you've got the stakeholder management. And if you take all of those and balance it with the customer needs, that's not an easy thing to do. And that's one of the things, again, I've sometimes fallen into the trap that if you're not careful, you're going to be pulled towards a certain direction and that may sway the return on investment that data has for the organization. But it's like spinning plates. I think those two key things, so fitting in and thinking, well, if I combine the rapid pace and what data means in different environments, they're the things you have to keep an eye on. But it's a very interesting thing. And especially as time goes on, I'm intrigued to see how it's going to play out and how companies change their perspective of data.
No, definitely. I think you bring very good points. And I was also wondering, because you were saying how you do love a good challenge, would you say that's part of what excites you about AI, the fact that it can be very challenging as well?
Absolutely. Like, there'll be some days that I am staring at a whiteboard looking at 3 pages of statistics proofs, if you imagine, because I need to find a way to solve a particular problem for a business need. And then another day, I could be briefing some of our stakeholders about data in a new business area that hasn't yet been explored. So the rapid change in pace, it can be challenging, but I really, really like that. It does get you thinking. And with a world where technology is moving at a scary fast pace, that agility in decision making is, it's challenging, but it's really, really exciting at the same time.
So where do you think the core trends in AI are shifting?
Okay, so one of the most interesting trends to me is whether AI is going to reach human intelligence. And there's been a very active discussion, both in big companies and within tech conferences, saying, well, is AI going to replace humans, basically? I mean, how close can the language get from a bot to how we're speaking at the moment? And that, for me, it's a bit of a grey area, because when you think about the size of language models that you're training on, they're becoming so vast. They're absolutely massive. So let's say you train on a very large language model, naturally there's going to be that behavior that the bots, for example, is going to get to a point where it's more naturally speaking. But I don't personally think we're going to have this humans replacing AI, because they're two totally different things. I think we'll get close, but I don't think we're going to get to the point where the way that you and I are speaking, the level of emotion, the tone, the style and the language, I just don't feel we're gonna get there. But it's definitely an area that's intriguing, especially if you think about chatbots and how efficient these chatbots are becoming. Like if you think of home assistants, 5-6 years ago, you couldn't talk to them. You had to almost adjust your language and be quite robotic. But now we're in the position where you can ask questions like, how's the weather today? Rather than saying, do I need an umbrella? It's quite fascinating. But again, time will tell with it. But I'm personally of the view that we're not going to reach that point where bots completely take over. There might be parts where they have to. Again, automation and efficiency in business is incredibly important. But I think if I was to say that bots are going to completely replace humans, that would just not be correct. I don't think we're going to go that far. So that's the language side of things. Another thing I'm quite intrigued about is the healthcare landscape. So, for example, AI is pioneering brand new ways to diagnose cancer, fast-track treatment. So I'm quite curious to see, especially the rise of like the likes of computer vision, is that going to lead to a new wave of diagnostics for, let's say, skin conditions? Is it going to find ways of, let's say, tackling or treating more aggressive forms of cancer that typically can't be diagnosed with traditional X-ray and MRI equipment? So again, it's quite an intriguing aspect there. Again, it's one that I'm watching quite closely. Lastly, for me, I'm quite intrigued about the regulation and the AI of common good angle, because we see, for example, in many countries, the privacy laws very much differ. And like in the UK, there's very strict privacy laws. In the US, there's usually state laws. For example, there isn't one GDPR or General Data Protection Regulation. So I'm quite intrigued with what we've got going on stateside, UK-wide, continent-wide, then in the likes of Brexit. And then are we going to see changes in how regulation is shaped, and how is that going to work towards the AI of common good, making sure that companies that utilize AI, whichever sector they're in, are utilizing it so it's fair and transparent and understood by the clients that they're actually trying to put it in front of to make their lives easier. So I think there's going to be a tug of war in those angles. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a universal solution that's easily created. I think it's going to be a continually evolving process. But in summary, the language models, the treatment and diagnostics and healthcare, and the regulation, they're three things that I'm quite excited to see how they're going to shift and where I also think we are going to shift.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if you were advising a company thinking about deploying AI, what single piece of advice would you give them?
If there's any advice, you've got to put your customers first. I've seen it because I've mentored some startups in the AI and machine learning space. And one of the things very, very common is for the technology to get in the way of the experience of the customer. And you've always got to remember, when you're deploying and you're thinking of all this technology, it's your end user that's going to feel the benefit or feel its wrath. It's not always about what you personally think it's going to be. So my advice to companies is don't just rush into thinking that these algorithms are going to add value. They are tools. They are just that. And you've got to make sure at the end of the day, it may be a risk, but this is expensive technology. You've got to make money with it. True. So if you factor that in, and then I look at the notion of the fact that AI doesn't always work with every sector. I mean, it's certainly used in a lot of sectors, but you can't apply it to every sector. If you then take that notion of putting your customers first, if you really, really say, I want to put my customers at the heart of this platform, making sure that their data is respected within privacy legislation, I think you've got a chance of making it work. It will cost you, but your customers, most importantly, will feel the benefit. That increases your loyalty, and ultimately you're much more attractive to investors. Just don't run out to investors with the idea without thinking about your customers. I've seen it happen on a lot of occasions, and sometimes it yields very interesting results.
You know, I can only imagine. Yeah, because I assume it's something that you have to convince investors first and really do your research, because it might be an initial big investment that will probably pay off in the long term, but it's convincing the long term.
Absolutely. And it's not just the investors. You've also got to think about your internal teams as well. If you've not got teams that are in position or have the requisite background to be able to start from the acorn and grow into a tree, you've got to be able to convince your internal and external stakeholders as well. It's all about the strategic value. It can't just be this short-term passion project of, we're going to ride the wave of this trend. In a nutshell, you've got to put your customers first. Make sure that you're engaging with your stakeholders internally and externally, and make sure that your teams understand the implications. Because when you're working with machine learning and AI, it's not just someone sitting in a room stroking a white cat in a big chair with 10 monitors. You're going to be proactively engaging with different teams to make this happen. So you've got to be right behind your stakeholders on this. If you've got buy-in, which is one of the toughest things, I'll say company buy-in for this type of technology is anything but easy. If you can get the buy-in, if you can showcase to your external stakeholders this strategic value, then it's something, albeit expensive, but could turn out hugely rewarding in the future.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. So just to round this off, I was just wondering, do you have any tips for other women who might be thinking about working in AI in the future?
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'd say. Firstly, don't be afraid to try stuff. Like when I started really getting into data, as I said earlier, it's one of these areas, there's so many angles and it's very, very easy to be almost washed away by the amount of choice. And what do I code? Do I do strategy? Do I do stats? Do I do stakeholder management, you name it. It's quite a maze. So my advice is to try each area. Think about what you're wanting to achieve with data. Think about your projects and say to yourself, what impact do I want to make? Do I want to make sure that my code is really good? Do I want to make sure that I understand how I can productionize machine learning models? Do I want to get stakeholders excited about the value of data? So try things. Don't be afraid to try things. And from that, be fearless. Like, as I said, I went from playing with spreadsheets to computer vision. And it's one of these things, you sometimes have to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. Like, as I said, I'm not a natural coder, but I love the fact that there with data, it's one of these fields that gives you the opportunity to really go out there and put yourself out there and try stuff. So it might be, for example, you see something on a website and you think, I don't see the strategic value in that data. Let me have a look at it and see what I can do to work with that company or present something, and then network about it and share your findings. It might be an industry-wide problem, for example, that you've actually discovered. It's almost like an undiscovered problem that you're about to go and solve. So be fearless with it. Don't be afraid because you're a woman that you're going to have these barriers that, oh, I can only do this part of AI. I've tried all of them. And I've found eventually, if you just take your time and gather your thoughts and be methodical with it, it could be one of the most rewarding careers. And most importantly, you could change a lot of people's lives.
That is really, really good advice. Thank you so much, Anna. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast as well. Unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time, so we have to wrap things up. So before we end things, I just wanted to add, if you piqued our listeners' interests and they want to reach out to you to hear more about what you're doing, what's the best place for them to find you?
So I'm very active on Twitter. So that's Anna_thedataguru. So Anna with one N, so A-N-A and then _thedataguru. We also have a very active company page on LinkedIn, INRO London, I-N-R-O London. We've also got that page on Twitter as well. And we also have a very active Instagram page. So again, we're looking at enhancing that for publishing more research. And we've got access to where you can see our talks and snippets. So they're the key places. So for Instagram, it's INRO_London and all lowercase.
Amazing. I hope everyone jotted that down. And Anna, once again, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
Right, bye.